And this is what happened, right? We are driving. We're half an hour outside the city. And I went, stop the car! Right? Chris was in the back with me because he's from London. We go on the same flight. Stop the car! Taxi driver's like, what? And there's billboards of our faces all over the flipping city, right? Promoting the event. This is the event, Jeff Ram. This is a picture of my head. I'm going, there's people in my family don't know who I am. And they all of Tehran know. And we were killing ourselves laughing, taking photographs. What's going on?
Jeff Ram, it's great to have you on the couch. And the first thing we need to do is just apologise for the absence of Simon. He's been called away at short notice. So it's me
just
and you.
He's just behind here.
He's going to pop up later.
Behind the city.
So he sends his apologies and would have loved to have been here. But he's trusting me, the fool, to run the ship. So we're going to get into a few things, I'm sure. But the question that we'd like to open with is, what does confidence mean to you?
I had a feeling you were going to ask that and I still didn't have an answer. Confidence to me is almost like I'm reassured. I know it's going to go well. I look good, feel good. If it's work, I this is going to go well. So there's kind of that, if you had like a sort of odds, you know, you put money on it.
Right.
So that little bit of confidence, you know, so what does confidence mean to me? I know whatever I'm going to do next has a good chance of being successful.
Okay, that's a good starting point. Where does that confidence come from? Because there's the thing, isn't it? Because how do you know it's going to a good chance of success? Is that?
I think from an experience point of view, if I think of work and what I do as a business, it's through experience. So I can draw on experience last week, last month, right. 23 years ago. I can call on experience and go, this has happened before. This has happened before with this audience or this business. Mm. This, so I know it went well then. I adapted that, tweaked that. And then all of a sudden it's like, ooh, been here before. It's a more comfortable space. Even though you don't know 100% what could happen, my experience tells me there's greater chance of that being a success. So that gives you a little bit more confidence, I suppose.
Yeah. So is it... It comes from experience.
Did that answer? That didn't answer.
Yeah, no, it did.
But I don't know the answer.
Well, we're going to get to the answer. Before we leave here, we're going to have the answer. That confidence bit then. What about when you perhaps didn't have the experience? If you think back, like you said 23 years ago and perhaps embarking on this, you didn't have that years of experience. Did that word confidence even factor? Did it mean anything to you then? What was that about?
I think we've all got confidence. I think we've all got confidence. We've all got knowledge in a certain. For the old people watching this, like me, the show now. If you think of Bullseye, you know, you know, remember that, not the prize board. We're not to that bit yet. But you remember there's a board and there was like books, literature. There was film. There was sport. There was TV. You look at that board and you go, oh, hope it's sport or hope it's movies. Because you're confident because you've got knowledge in that. You've got a bit of knowledge, whether it's through experience or job or work or through family, you've got experience in that. It's a love. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you know, somebody hits geography and you... And your confidence drains you. Oh, I'm not confident of answering this question. I'll give it a good go. So I think there's a bit of that. I think we all have certain confidence levels based on experience of the past, but also things that we love, things that we're interested in. We've mentioned this before, you know, there's things along your journey where it can knock your confidence, it can boost your confidence, can drag your confidence down. It's never an even keel, is it?
No, and I think that's an interesting thing. So, you mentioned their knowledge can give you a sense of confidence.
Yeah.
But can confidence be transferred? So for example, you may feel confident in one particular area. Maybe you're good at sports and you're confident as a footballer. We were talking to Kieran Brady yesterday and a natural footballer.
You know, I remember his debut. I was there.
Were you? Right. And so that natural confidence can it carry into other areas so that when perhaps you don't have the knowledge or the experience, that thing, whatever it is, that nebulous thing called confidence, can you carry that in? Can you use what you've learned or what you've gained in terms of confidence in a different area?
A different area in terms of?
Life, work, whatever, you know, I guess.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. You're picking up skills all the time. You know, you enter this world with very limited knowledge, skills, you name it, and you just pick up on the way. Mm. At some point, you might be able to use some piece of information that could boost that little bit of confidence. If it's, you go, oh, is this right? Is this wrong? What should I do? And do you know what? It's not always going to be right. My wife and I, Hayley, we often talk about, you know, was that the right decision? Should we have got that done to the garden?
Yeah.
Should we have booked that flight, or should we have got a different holiday? You know, the little things.
Yeah.
And at the time, we say this to each other all the time, at the time it was the best decision we made at that point.
Mm.
And the beauty of hindsight is exactly what it is, the beauty of hindsight.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we should have got that earlier flight. Maybe it's that hotel. It's little things, isn't it? So you pick up this knowledge, you pick up this experience, and you go, right, next time we're not going to book that.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to make sure that we do this with the kids. We'll not book that seat. You're just picking up things all of the time. But at the time of making the decision, it's the right decision at that moment in that time, and you can't beat yourself over with a stick for the decision you made. It was the right decision at the time. Learn from it. Good, great, fantastic. Would you do it differently next time? Of course I will. Mm. We all make mistakes. It's impossible not to.
Mm. I love that. And I think, is that possibly where, because we're going to get into what you do and your journey as well, but is that possibly where the difference between growing confidence versus, you know, wrecking your confidence is how you reflect on something? So that decision, we should never have done that. Oh man, I'm useless. What have I done? You know, that kind of self-talk that I might do. I could imagine, and I've certainly done it myself, you take a nosedive in confidence. But if you take that pragmatic, reflective approach of, you know, we did the best we could, yeah, we'll do something different. That seems to be a bit more protective of yourself in that.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly it's...
Yeah. Who knows? So tell us about obviously you're saying 23 years in the work you do. Do you want to tell us what it is you do, and we'll get on the journey?
Hello. So my name is Jeff Ram. I'm a professional speaker and author, and I travel the world, which is just unbelievable to think where things have first started. If somebody 23 years ago had said, you'll have your own business, you'll travel to 49 countries, you will see cultures, you will see things you never thought was possible unless you saw it on the TV. You'll have written four books, and I would have said they were crazy. I really would have done. So 23 years ago, set up my own business. So let me I'll go back a little bit further. So I left South Tyneside College, went to Sunderland University. For anybody watching this now, it's like 3 miles in between. I wasn't very well travelled back then. So I was at university at Sunderland Business School, and that's where I met my now wife, Hayley. We met, I think I was 21 at the time when we got together, and still live in the Northeast, still live in Seaburn near the coast. We have two amazing children, and Grace and Elliot. So that's that at university. I wasn't going to go down this rabbit hole, and I've went really cold.
Okay.
Amazing few years. So I think I was the only person that did a 3.5 year course.
Right.
So it's either 3 years or 4 years. The 4 years are like the sort of out in placement. So 3 years. Myself and Martin, best friend, we're best mates and best men at each other's wedding. And if you ever see me on LinkedIn around October time, and Facebook, there's always me and him at an NFL game. So we're best of mates still up to this day. So there was a real click of us at university. You loved every minute of it. And marketing, service and business was my passion at university. You loved it. Loved the business school. Great way of life. Didn't study as much or as hard as I should have done, which I know everybody watching this now going, oh, yes, that's me. And I failed economics, the economics part. I still don't understand it. I still don't care. So I failed business economics, which meant I couldn't graduate. This wasn't the rabbit hole I was going to go down today. I thought we'd go talk about nice stuff. So anyhow, Hayley graduated. She was fantastic. Martin graduated. Chris, all of our friends graduated. And at the Sunderland Empire, everybody was graduating, sat on the right. Everybody who sat on the left was parents, mm-hmm. or grandpa. You know, you could get sort of a couple. And I was sat on the left. I watched my now wife and all my friends graduate. I got put back. I had to redo, so I had to do another 6 months of the degree. Mm. I had to watch everybody get up and pick up the scroll to have confidence. but there was a horrible day. It was great for Hayley and Martin and friends and graduation do at Newcastle, but I'm the only one who hasn't graduated. Nobody knows that, because bloody podcasts now and people know this. But it's a story that I've told, and it was a long time ago when I was speaking in universities and colleges, just my life. This is what I did. This is how I started in business. The highs and lows and the ups and downs, and it's not all what you see on social media. So that was horrible. So I resat. I graduated. I graduated a year later, got my degree. First job, real job, was for an enterprise agency in Chesley Street in Durham City. So I was working with startup businesses. There's me, never been in business. I'm a business advisor for people who've never been in business, right? But I was specializing in marketing and creativity, and there was a bit of service in there as well. Those have always been my favorite subjects. So this is before Google, right? Right? BG, before Google, right? Before Google. It was before websites. Nobody had a website. If you wanted to promote your business back then, it was back of a bus, leaflets, flyers, advertising in the press, the magazines, cinema. There was nothing else. That was kind of it. And I was there for 3.5 years, loved it, needed to move on. And I got a job as a marketing manager, which was a marketing and service, customer service, at a motor retail group in the Northeast. Mm. Which is, I think, you know the backstory of this one. And on the last day of February 2002, the finance director walked in with a white envelope and said, "You've been made redundant." But it wasn't just me, it was my team. I had a team of 5 of us. And we all, that was it. We lost our jobs. I lost my job as well as the team. I lost my car, my phone, and confidence. It took a dint. It took a real whack to the door dint. Because we're profitable, we're doing well, we come up with some great campaigns. We had other rival dealerships going, "How have you got these ideas?" And it was the time when the new car plate had changed back in the day. Created some amazing stuff. Dealerships that we worked with, there was 11 of them, loved what we were doing. And that was horrible. That was on the Friday before the O2 plate launched. And came home, sat down with Hayley, what do we do? What we're going to do? And I said, I can't work for anybody else again. Nobody in the future is going to walk in with a white envelope and say, "Oh, you've been made redundant." Because that's somebody controlling your life, your career. And I went, "Stuff you." I'm saying "stuff you." That's not the words I used.
Yeah.
But for the sake of the Master Debonair podcast, that's what we'll go with.
Swearing's allowed, though.
Yeah, I can't. Because right. There's words that don't even exist. So Hayley and I got together that night, and we said, what are we going to do? So long story short, March the 1st, 2002, I started my own business. And I went back to what I knew, to what confidence I know, working with small business, working with entrepreneurs. And I went back to that. So I set up a company called Mercury Marketing. And Hayley took a job on. Hayley was full-time employed. We didn't have kids at this stage in life. She took a second job on a weekend. So she was 7 days flat out. And I'm just trying to get out there, trying to, you know, knocking on doors and picking up phones and sending stuff through the mail, right? Just trying to get a bite, trying to, you know, trying to trying to get out there, trying to get moving, trying to get clients, trying to get contracts, trying to get anything to put a roof over our heads. And look, there's a great chance that wouldn't have happened. And, you know, funnily enough, another dealership came along about a month later and wanted to speak to me about taking me on. And I actually said, no, I didn't want it. And I thought, I've made the decision. It hurts. I can remember every word of that day. And I thought, I don't want, I can't have that again. So Haley was doing 7 days a week and I started getting going, and it took me 6 months to make a penny. Got my first client. And the client actually is 300 yards from this very place. It was a restaurant called Forster's. Their English cuisine. Was it Dory crying? I'm trying to think of names. It's like a long time ago. And I wrote a press release for her. It was my very first. Anyhow, I was, so Mercury Marketing, I started to build, started to get clients and start, you know, word gets out. And so I was 90% consultant advisor to small business, 10%, no, 5% really. I think 95.5 is, so 5% was speaking.
Right.
And I was, when people say, what do you mean speaking? So Barclays used to do a lot of events for startups, and well, sadly they don't do that anymore. But they were the primary bank to help business. So they would bring me in and I would do little events and in South Shields and Sunderland and Durham and a Business Link back in the day. So I'd start to do little events for them, seminars. And the business grew and grew and grew. I was very much Northeast focused. 95% consultant, 5% speaker. After 5 years, I was knackered. You know, you're trying to build up a reputation, trying to build up a brand. Haley, by this stage, had come back to sort of work, you know, 5 days a week with her full time, which so we had a little bit more balance. A year later, I got a car. I'll tell you this one. Tell you what. So I'd only been a year in business, but built up the last sort of 7-8 months in. And I needed a car. We were car sharing for the first year. It was a nightmare. So it was a week to the year later, this particular day. Oh, here's a story for you. Yeah, bloody hell, I forget about this. A year, because it's so long ago. A year to the week later, then I was made redundant. I picked up my car, Alfa Romeo, black 147. Sexy car.
Nice.
Not as reliable as everybody talks about, but I loved it. The one for Alpha, and I picked it up on the morning, drove down past university where, you know, graduated from, and past the stadium of light, and drove down to Tedco in South Shields, and they're an organisation that helps start up businesses and small business. And I had business advisors helping me. And they put me forward to Shell Livewire Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award. It was a long time ago. And I won the South Tyneside Heat thing to go to the regionals. So you put a business plan in and they give me a check. You know the checks you used to get on Children in Need?
Yeah.
You know, the big ones. Yeah. I thought I've always wanted one of those big checks. They give me £1,000. I got a bottle of champagne, which I still have, still in the house. So the bottle's still there. And the press came around, the Journal, the South Shields Gazette, they took photographs. I'm in the press. Big sort of right marketing, you know, service, this entrepreneur just won this award. I put the big check in the bottle in the boot of my brand new car. This is in one day, right? On the back of the car. Closed the boot, went back home, changed suit, which we'll come on to, and clothes. We'll get changed. And I drove down to Bishop Auckland because on the night I had an event. I think it was for Barclays. So this is in one day. I pick up a brand new car, which is like, you know, the smell in the car. Oh, it's lovely. I got an award. I was like, oh my God, how incredible is that? You know, it's. So I go to this event in Bishop Auckland, do this hour's keynote. And this young lady came up to me at the end and she said, I've loved everything what you've said, loved everything what you've done there and all your ideas, fantastic. Can you come and help my business? I've just started out. And she was with her mum. Her mum was there. I said, all right, yeah. I said, we'd love to. And I'm thinking, this is utopia. what a day, you know, I've got a chance of a client, on the back of a client, on the back of a check, on the back of champagne, on the back of a flipping car. This is incredible. Can you come and help me? And I worked with this person for about 6 or 7 years. Still keep in contact now. Sarah Davies from the Dragon's Den.
Right.
And surreal. One of those surreal types of days. And I do tell this, or I used to tell this story quite a bit about how to start a business. And I only tell it because it's, those days are rare. And you've got to remember those, because, you know, when somebody doesn't pay, when the check bounces, when something, you know, doesn't get across the line or something doesn't quite work out. Yep. It's a bit of a challenge. So really bizarre, sort of, you know, from redundancy, starting up my own business, nothing happened for 6 months, not a penny came in. I'm doubting myself, this isn't going to work. Do I go back to the recruitment agencies? Do I give them a new CV? Yeah. And I just needed to give it more time and push and push and push. Something's got to break. I was doing all the things right that I thought I was doing. And so my business, which is just me, always has been me, never employed anybody, never want to employ anybody, just me. I'm in control. Mm. The business grew and it was very much Northeast. Mm. And it grew to the point where I would have associates, maybe as designers or photographers that I could bring in, but I was doing 99% of the work. And I was exhausted. I was knackered. I was to the point of, this is crazy, because when you run your own business, you say no to nothing. You say yes to everything. Yeah. Can you adjust? Will you be able to? Yeah, I can do that. I'm like, because you don't know where the next phone call, you don't know if it's ever going to come, and you go, I'll take whatever's coming. Yeah. So I was saying yes to everything. I was shattered. Again, Haley and I sat down, pre-kids, sat, I can picture us now. And she went, this is no good. You look knackered. Mm. You know. And she said the words, she says, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? Which is an interesting question.
Mm.
And what do you want to do? She said, I know you love it, but what's going to make you happiest? And I said, I'd love to do a bit more of this speaking. Because this 5% thing I was doing, I was getting such a buzz on stage. Mm. The stories that I was telling was all my original content. I said, I would love to do more of this speaking stuff. Here's a confidence thing for you. And this was a risk, but it's a risk that you can come back on and rectify.
Mm.
So if I'm 100% busy, knackered, how do I effectively set up a speaking brand? And launch that, because I haven't got the time. Then the time was the biggest thing. So I decided to put my prices up on the consultancy, for argument's sake, an hourly rate, and I doubled it. Overnight, I doubled it. And I thought, right, what's going to happen is, my thoughts were, I'll double it. People who want to stay with me or want me in the future, they will pay. But I will lose. And people were, thanks, but no thanks.
Mm.
That would free up time to develop the speaking brand. Nobody left. So there's a few swear words I've used. And I was like, Christ, I could have been charging that for blood. Anyhow. No bugger left. And I was like, really? That's interesting. So we don't realize the value of ourselves until we put a value on ourselves. And then we see what the market will stand, which is interesting. So anyhow, my accountant at the time said, are you mad? Doubling, you can't just do that. It's not something that, and again, we can listen to outside influences that can knock or boost your confidence. If somebody said to me then, oh, it's a great idea, Jeff. I've now got more confidence to do that. When you say, are you mad? Now I'm at a crossroads of, am I mad? But I thought, if it bombs for a month or a quarter, I can go back. I'll say, oh, I made a mistake with the prices. I pressed the wrong key. Nobody left, which meant that I could cherry pick the clients I wanted to work with. That would free up the time. And here's another weird confidence thing, because I don't know if this is a Northeast thing, might be a South Shields Northeast thing. I did not want jeffram.com.
No?
No. Not back in the day. So my business was called Mercury Marketing, mercurymarketing.co.uk. I think that domain's just about gone now. If anybody wants it, can take it. It only exists as a bank account. The name doesn't exist anymore. So when I made the decision, when Hayley and I had the talk over Christmas, literally a week later, I purchased jeffram.com. I thought, well, I'm the speaker. It's my name. I have to get him. And I thought, email jeff@jeffram.com. I thought, how egotistical is this? And I don't know if that's a Northeast thing, because some people, oh yeah, I'll get my domain name. It was the last thing I wanted to do, because I thought, that's really egotistical. But I thought, I'm going to need it, I'll get it, and I'll suffer the consequences of, who the hell do you think you are, yeah. Right? And I've had this actually when you're in a shop and they say, we're going to email you a receipt. I'm like, no, you're just going to shove us on your market and stuff. Can you email you a receipt? I'm like, yeah, jeff@jeffram. Oh, is that you? I'm like, oh, got your own email? I'm like, yeah. Sorry, don't have Blue Yonder. So I got the domain name. Where was I at? Where was I going? I'm all over the shop. So I got the speaking stuff, and I dedicated all my time, energy, investment, money into website, into my materials, into all this stuff, just for me as a speaker. That's where I wanted to go. That's the real buzz I've got. And it's at that time, and this is where me and you first met, through these circles of the speaking world, I thought, I've got to get immersed. I need help. I need support. I can't just say, oh, I'm a speaker. Ta-da! I know nothing about the industry. I know nothing about what you need. This is like, I'm a good climber, but you might need a Sherpa to take up the top. Mm. You need a bit of, you need some knowledge. Where do I get this from? And it's not something you can just Google. So I joined, I found this organization called the Professional Speaking Association, the PSA. Mm. And I thought, right, I need to find out about the industry and need to know where, you know, what I need to do. And the next, they have chapter meeting, they have chapters, monthly things. The next one, and it was PSA Northeast, right? And then it was in Wetherby, which for me and you and for us, everybody in this room is like flipping 2-hour drive. Oh. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning. I went, oh, you're having a laugh. Set the alarm, got up at 5, left at 5:30, got there for 7:30. I'm thinking, okay, let's give this a go. Walked into the room, 20 people, all sorts of speakers, trainers, coaches of all varying degrees of experience, knowledge, you know, where they're at on the ladder of professional speaking. And I'm wet behind the ears. I'm doing some stuff in Business Link and Chesley Street and Barclays and Sunderland. You know, it's very, very tiny. And after about 10 minutes from hearing people, what they were saying, and we did a group thing of, you know, give us your sort of highs, lows of the last month, you know, I just fell in love with it. I went, oh my God, this is good. And I met a guy called Clive Gott.
Yeah.
He'd become a very good friend, and he sadly passed away. And if anybody wants to look at some of his videos, they're still on YouTube, which is wonderful. That's the wonderful thing about social media. Our imprint is still there. So a guy called Clive Gott, G-O-T-T. And I met him, and he was like, not a mentor, but a friend, and he's sort of, you know, wonderful guy. And met Richard McCann. He was starting out the same time as me. John Atauka, some wonderful people. And I fell in love, and I just came away going, oh, I found something that I can really connect with. Anyhow, joined. And the PSA had... This is a really long story to get to some confidence stuff. I don't know
if you're going. If you're going, I love it.
Your viewers have got like 7 hours, but here we go. The PSA has various regions: Manchester, London, Birmingham. You know, as you can imagine. So me speaking on marketing, speaking on service, you have guest speaker slots at these meetings. It's not just a case of meeting and chatting and having a coffee and leaving. You actually had two or three speakers doing half an hour each, top tips, keynotes, whatever you want to call it. So I offered me, you don't get paid, but I offered different regions and say, look, I'm a member of the Northeast. I've just joined. If you ever want me to come across and to Manchester and do a talk on marketing to help your members, or London to help your members, or to that'd be fantastic. And so that's what I did for about a year. And that's, I'm getting out there, just learning my craft, learning my trade, and I've still got the consultancy, you know, ticking away some clients, you know, pay the bills. And it's a story I've told many times and I love it because it changed my career. It changed my business, it changed me. My phone goes, it's Friday afternoon, 3:10. It was June. My phone goes, I've got a home-based office. I've got a swanky office. Just a home-based office. I have for 23 years. No, I go to conferences. People don't come to me. My phone goes and there's a little window on the phone that says international out of area. And I'm going, call center. Stuff it. I'm not picking up this. I know exactly what it is. You know, you've won a kitchen. Who's your current provider of?
I don't know.
Well, if you don't want this kitchen, can you recommend it? No, I can't recommend kitchens to anybody. So anyhow, it was on its last ring. It normally has 7 or 8 rings, and then it goes into the answer machine. And I just went, just pick up the phone. Be nice, be kind. Say, no, I'm not interested in a mobile phone. Gas, electric. I'm not moving. Just pick up the phone. Be nice. It's Friday afternoon, and just. And I picked it up on the last ring. And of course, there was a 2-second delay. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, for God's sake, here we go. And it was international. You could hear the dialing. Can I speak to Jeff Ram, please? I said, speaking. He said, that's Jeff Ram. I went, yeah, yeah. He said, my name's Seppa Tarvardi and I'm from a company called Hamiyash Farazan. He said, what are you doing on the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th of November? What? He said, I've got a conference. What are you doing on those dates? I still keep a paper diary, always have. This is, I'll just use this as a prop. So, right, I'm going to flick through. I said, oh, let me check. I can tell you now, there's nothing in the diary because I'm just starting out. There's nothing in the diary for 6 months' time. There's nothing in the diary. So I said, I've got two potential bookings on two of those four dates. I've told him this, it's fine. There's nothing in there. But I don't know if, they're going to, I've got two, but it hasn't gotten a contract yet. I said, what's the event? He said, oh, it's the world's first marketing and advertising forum. And I said, where? He said, Tehran. I said, Tehran, Iran, Tehran. He was like, yeah. I went, who's this? Because the penny dropped, right? So I'm taking this call, international out of area. Ram, Tehran, Iran. This is a wind up. Somebody's winding me up here. And I knew who it was. It was my best mate from university, Martin. Because my head goes, he's got jeffram.com. He's got jeff@jeffram.com. Let's bring him down a peg or two. That's a bit of a laugh. We're going to contact the local radio station. Yeah. You know exactly who it was. Yeah. Tony Horn, Metro Radio. Let's do something live across the airwaves. Let's have a bit of a laugh. And I suddenly realized this is going to go live across the airwaves. So I had to go whoosh, professional. This happens all the time. I get inquiries like this all the time, by the way. Right. And I go, okay, yeah, no, it's a Tehran. Yeah, that's fantastic. My first question, what was my first question? What's the audience? He said, 1,000 people in the audience. I'd never spoke to any more than 60. I said, 1,000? Yeah. I said, and what sort of businesses will be there? Because I'm thinking, right, just looks so super professional, unflustered. He goes, we're going to have Iran Air, Bank Iran. He said, but we'll also have a lot of SMEs. I thought, there's no way the local radio station know about SMEs, small, medium enterprises. Yeah. And I was like, I said, okay. I said, And what about visas? Oh, well, da, da, da. I said, okay, and what about this? Well, okay. He said, there are six speakers over a two-day conference. We're doing two conferences, 2 days in Tehran, 2 days in Isfahan. You do a one-hour talk on the day one. You do a different one-hour talk on day two, same audience comes in, okay? Six speakers. I have five booked already. You will be my sixth pick. And I go, because I'm going, this is weird. I said, what other speakers have you got? He says, oh, we've got Michael Jackson. And I went, I was like, shut up, who's this? Because Michael Jackson, radio station, music. I went, is that the best you can do? And he went, sorry? He said, no, not that Michael Jackson, the other Michael Jackson, who's a speaker in South Africa, who now is back in Manchester. And I went, right. He said, when can you let me know? You know, from an empty diary, I can let you know now. And I said, well, give me till Monday. I'll find out if these events can be pushed back. And I'll give you an answer on Monday. Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Put the phone down. I was like, and he sent me a link, sent me the email. And I thought, oh, here we go. Ta-da, you've been, you know, gotcha'd. And it was real. There was the venue. There was the speakers. There's Michael Jackson, George Turok from Canada. There's Chris Roycroft Davis, a lovely guy who I knew from PSA in London. Yeah. So there's two Brits, Michael from South Africa, and was there two or three Canadians at this conference? And it was real. Signed the contract, and I got on the plane, and I flew to Tehran to speak at this conference. I have not, the furthest I ever spoke was the Chamber of Commerce in Carlisle. So I went international before I went national. It took 6 years to get to London. But here I am. All I've got is stories about businesses who have helped in Chesley Street, in Jarrow, in Bishop Auckland, in Newcastle. And I've got all these stories and slides that I'm going to share with the audience. But it's so localized. I'm like, oh my God. So I get on the plane. I've never been so nervous in all my life. Because I'm thinking, we're talking about comfort zones. Mm. I couldn't see my comfort zone. Oh, get outside your comfort zone. I couldn't see the flipping zone. It was like beyond. But I flew out with Chris. And at the time, oh, I'll tell you this. Oh, God. Have we got enough time? This is mad, right? I've got so many stories. So many of them are not. We can't share them. But these are for in the pub stories. But I'll tell you this one, right? Because it was crazy. So at the time, this was 2009, got on the flight. But I had on my possession with me a brand new phone. It was the iPhone. I think the iPhone had not long been out. The very first one, whatever it was. But I thought, ooh, I can get on social media. I can get on emails. I can text. I can da-da-da-da. WhatsApp wasn't around at the time. But I can keep in contact with Haley. I've never been abroad before working. This is bizarre. I'm going to Iran. I don't know what to expect. I'm there for 5 days, effectively. So I got the new iPhone. Brilliant. We touched down in Tehran, got into the airport, phone dead. It will not work. It will never work. You can't get on social media. Everything's banned. Western phones, the network, bang, you can't get on. Can't get on the Wi-Fi. And all I need to say, and I want a message, Haley, to say, I've arrived, all is good. Because she'll be panicking. She'll be, I'm on a flight to Iran. What, you know, this isn't normal. So Tehran is a fascinating place and the Iranian people are amazing. And then, again, this is one of the things as well, because you've got preconceived notions through the media that you have. It's amazing. The food, the culture, the people, fantastic. It's a 2 hour journey from the airport to Tehran's 2 hour hotel. And this is what happened, right? We are driving. We're half an hour outside the city. And I went, stop the car. Right? Chris was in the back with me because he's from London. We go on the same flight. Stop the car. Taxi driver's like, what? And there's billboards of our faces all over the flipping city, right? promoting the event. This is the event, Jeff Ram. This is a picture of my head. I'm going, there's people in my family don't know who I am. And they, all of Tehran know, and we were killing ourselves laughing, taking photographs. What's going on? This is now 4 in the morning. I think it's 3, 4 in the morning. Get to the hotel, 4 o'clock. Get in the lobby. I can't get Wi-Fi. I just need to tell Hilly that I'm here. Can't get on. Da, 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 da. Got the keys, got to my room. It's now 4:30. Wi-Fi in the bedroom isn't working. And my phone isn't working. I'm trying to phone. You know, I've got the right dialing code. I use the hotel phone in the room. I'm thinking, that wouldn't work. I phoned down reception. They came up. He couldn't get it to work. Nightmare. I said, he said, oh, come down with me. Went back down to the reception in the head office, in the hotel. He said, Mr. Ram, it's now 5:30 a.m. The sun's coming up. He said, you have a conference tomorrow. He said, this is a big conference. He said, go have some sleep. And he said, when the Wi-Fi works, I will email your wife. I went, oh, mate, brilliant. Thank you. So I wrote down Haley.ram at, I said, if you can, cheers, man. A few days later, still phone dead. I said to Seppa at this conference, I said, do you mind if I use your phone? I said, my emails don't work. I said, obviously the hotel were helping. I just want to phone home and speak to Hayley. You know, it's been a couple of days. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I phoned. She said, you okay? Yeah, fantastic. So through the night, Hayley gets a ping on her phone. And I said, are you all right? She went, uh-huh. I said, well, you sound a bit hesitant. She said, the email came through. And she said, you'll never guess. I said, what? She said, dear Mrs. Ram, do not worry, we have your husband. So she gets this at like 4 in the morning, 3 and 4 in the morning, right? She wakes up to this, do not worry, we have your husband. I'm going, for crying out loud. So I get back to the hotel. I went, what's this? What's this message? And Haley's like, it was fine, because I scrolled down. It was like from the general manager of the hotel, and I saw the footer and the header, and I went, oh, for God. But it's about communication. Anyhow, tons of stories to tell you. Anyhow, confidence. So I've never been so nervous in all my life. I've never been so far out of my comfort zone. I want to get speaking. I wonder if there's a career here. I wonder if there is, because I don't know. And I'm just flicking a coin and I'm going to give it my best. I don't know what's going to come up. I'm doing stuff in the Northeast and things are going well and I'm getting rebookings, but is there a career here? Because I was told by numerous speakers that unless you have a gold medal around your neck, unless you've climbed that mountain 300 times, unless you're a celebrity or you've been on the TV, you can't make a living from being a keynote speaker. And I set out to dispel that myth, of which I did. And getting to Iran was an incredible experience. Never been so nervous. 1,000 people in this auditorium. It's like half the Colosseum. Like multis, and the chairs are big. Okay. I met Michael Jackson. We become mates instantly. Wonderful guy. Brilliant speaker. Fantastic. And he's already been here a week because they've done other conferences in Iran. The big ones in Tehran. I'm arriving at the big one. The Canadian speakers and Michael have been here a week already. They know the customs. They know the stuff. So I'm sat in the front. There's dry ice coming out from the stage. There's music. There's flipping light shows. 1,000 people in there. It's a show. And I'm like, this is bizarre. So I'm sat at the front. Michael opens because he's this big, booming, wonderful, rasping voice. Brilliant orator. Fantastic. And he comes running down. He's like, Michael Jackson. It was And he comes bounding down the stairs, not just walk on. I thought, this is different to the Chamber of Commerce. He comes running on the stage. He goes, Salam, Tehran. The old place goes, ah. And I'm sat there going, there's another level. There's another level to this. Okay. And he spoke for the first minute in Farsi. He'd learnt some phrases in Farsi, and I'm like, there's another level. And I saw his slides. His slides were lovely. They were beautiful. And I went, there's another level here. and I'm learning so much, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm next. So I've got an hour's worth of stuff. This is on day one. I've got an hour's worth of stuff, and I do my stuff. I've never been so nervous, and I muddle through it. I think I don't remember that first talk at all. The audience are all on headsets, and there's simultaneous translation going on. So when you deliver a sentence, wait 4 to 5 seconds later before it hits. So if you've got a funny line or a question, hopefully you get a laugh. If you don't, that's a long 5 seconds. So you're learning all the time. And I'm like, I'm just in stuff. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm just learning all the time. I think, okay, what can I do? I do my first hour. I come off stage and I sit on one of the big chairs like this. And either side of you are one of the sponsors who've paid big money to be there. The sponsors get to sit next to the speakers. I'm just Jeff from Shields. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit bizarre. So, guy comes up, the host comes up. And he goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Jeff Varam. And a picture of me comes up on the screen. I don't know where they got the photograph from. It was somewhere online. Picture of me comes up on the screen. Beside it was 4 yellow buttons, rectangles. And then there was some Farsi writing on inside these yellow boxes. Jeff Brom, and everybody takes out their phone, looks at the screen, keys in, puts the phone back. I goes to the guy to my left, who was one of the sponsors. He could speak fluent English. I said, what are they doing? He says, oh, we're rating how good you are. I said, do I get to see these results? And he just laughed. He went, oh, we all do. I'm sorry. He said, in 10 minutes time, your results will come up on the screen, what we all thought of your talk that you delivered flipping 2 minutes ago. I mean, you're having a laugh. You know, you do events here and people, how do you rate the food out of 5? How do you rate the parking? How do you rate the content of this stuff? And it's like, if it's like the Business Link or the Chamber of Commerce, it's like, you might see those results, you know, 10% say this and 50%. This is going live in front of 1,000 people. And I'm like, so if you're going to die, you're going to die in public. And I just went, and we're talking about confidence, like, ooh. And nerves, confidence, nerve, whatever you want to call it. I went, oh, flipping heck. I said, so what are they voting on? He said, oh, the first button is excellent. The second button is good. The third option is average. And the fourth, how do you say it? Weak. Right. 10 minutes later, the bar chart comes up, right? What people think of you. At the end of day one, they put all of the speakers' results up, right? As a top 6 Premier League, flipping top 6 league table. Michael was number 1. He was always going to be. He's phenomenal. He blew everybody away. Just perfect. I was number 2. That'll do. Silver medal. Go home now. Silver. Because everybody else had been doing this for years. They were professional speakers. They were all, you know, they've been everywhere. They've done. And I'm like, I'm fish out of water. Never been so nervous in all my life. Dear God, I'll be happy with second. Thank you. That night, so we left. Here's a funny thing, right? Talk about confidence. This is a real weird one. So not only to the billboards, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm not that good, right? Promoting this event, and that brings with it a bit of pressure. But when you enter the conference, everybody knows who you are. The Iranian audience members have autograph books.
All right.
They all want your photograph. They all, not just a selfie, they want your photograph. They want to, and it's just phenomenal. You feel like a celebrity. And there's no other experience I've seen like it. I was like, oh my word, this is another level. That night, so we left that, taking photographs and autographs, and it was just bonkers. That night, we went to a local Italian restaurant. There's no drink, he can't drink, so we had, it was a cans of Top Deck. Remember Top Deck?
Yeah.
There's a one for the dads. So we had these shandies or whatever we had, Cokes and stuff. We had pizzas. That night, we're all talking about it, how bonkers it is. The audience, just wonderfully but bonkers. And I think we all have a degree of confidence. I have confidence in my stories and I think they're going to go well, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know until I get stuff back from the audience. The audience have just told me, we love this. So that night I had confidence, but that confidence turned into belief. And the belief that I had that night was, if my stories about an ironing lady in Chesley Street can go down and well in Tehran, where they don't understand the language and the 5 seconds behind, and I'm new to this, this could go anywhere. Mm. And I had belief that, sugar, this could. And the next morning, we woke up, ready for day two, different talk, and they move the speaker lineup around. Same audience comes back for day two. And the other guys are brilliant. I learned so much from them. And on the taxi on the way there to the conference center, Chris and I were in the same hotel. So I've got this idea from the opening of this talk. And Chris said, oh, what do you mean? I said, I've got just a brand new, the talk, but I've got this opening. I've had this idea this morning. He said, oh, tell us about it. And I told him, he said, oh, I like that. I says, I'm going to do it this morning. He said, what? I said, I'm going to do it. And that belief that I have, that extra confidence, I thought, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to go for it. If it bombs, it bombs. Not the best word you can use. But I'm just going to go for it. Belief, I'm thinking, just go for it. And it's, I remember doing it. I've never done it since. Sometimes at an event, things will happen. It's only a one shot only. And what they had in at this conference center, the stage was almost in two steps. There's a higher stage, a lower stage, and then there's a circle at the bottom. And you could use any part of that stage. It was huge. It was fantastic. But they had these huge, massive planters full of all these flowers, full of all this stuff, and so before my stuff, I just moved the planters just a little bit of a gap, because we're all close together, just to fit me backside in. So nobody could see. So I introduced, got up on stage, and I just plonked myself in between these two planters, and my legs were dangling. Had some red socks on. There's a photograph somewhere. And I'm sat, rather than standing for this talk, I'm sat. And I said to the audience, I remember this as if it was yesterday, actually, it's bizarre. I said, anybody here go fishing? Anybody go fishing? Ever been fishing? This is just like marketing. You know, you can sit on the edge, potential fish, customers out there, and you cast and you hope you're going to get a customer, you're going to get a contract. And sometimes you can be sat there for a long time and not get a bite. If you're wanting to get greater results and get people to bite, pull in your reel. I'm going to give you some different bait to put in your marketing to attract more customers. And I remember that I just did this. It was, but I did the whole thing as if I'm fishing. Everybody got it, and I just went for it. At the end of this talk, again, all the voting was happened. At the end of day two, they combined both day scores. I was voted number one. Michael was number two. I was voted best speaker at the world's first ever marketing advertising conference. They presented me with a Persian rug, and they held my hand aloft. The photograph was taken, and everything changed from that. Confidence, and that confidence can get knocked, or it can get boosted from what audiences say, from what people will think and message you about, or that it can go either way. But it just went off the scale, and I. We did another conference in Isfahan Michael and I were become good friends. He introduced me to his bureau in South Africa. That turned into about a dozen trips to Cape Town and Johannesburg over the years, and I introduced him to some Michael. So it was wonderful. And so many stories, so many things come from that, that impacted my speaking business, impacted me personally. And when I used to speak at universities and colleges, when they used to bring me in to talk about how do you start your own business and highs and lows and all the rest of it, I take it right back to that phone that went on a Friday afternoon in June, 3:10, international out of area, and I almost didn't pick up the phone. I know Seppa now, he's a very good friend, the guy who brought my agent and the event organizer in Iran. I did 4 consecutive years with him out in Iran. Loved every minute of it. Wonderful. And he's the type of person that would never have left a voicemail.
Right.
He wouldn't have done it. He would have just gone to somebody else. And people say, well, how did he find out about you? You know, was he at Carlisle Chamber of Commerce? He contacted a guy called Mike Ogilvie, a good friend of mine, who was a speaker. Still is a speaker, still alive. He's a speaker. And he contacted Mike. He said, Mike, would you come and speak at this conference? He said, I'm booked. I'm double booked. He said, right. Who do you recommend? And he said, I've never met him, but I've only heard good things. This guy called Jeff Ram. He's quite new. Here's his website. Have a look. And that's how it came about. Yeah. And I know Mike through the PSA. So you can go... You go through your career and it can hinge on a phone call. I could have picked up that phone and said, no. But sometimes you've got to take that little risk, that little yes, I'll do it. Now, going back to what you and I said, you know, it could have bombed. I could have been terrible. I'd never get booked again. I could have stumbled and I could have come sixth. Right? And I think, I could never do that. Maybe this isn't for me. But I just go into everything with, I'm going to give this my all. And you don't know where it's going to lead. I don't know where that phone call is going to lead. I don't know whether that meeting in PSA London could go. You don't know until you make it happen. And that's the beauty of running your own business. I never know that I left my phone around the corner. I could have a call from any brand in any country or an email inquiry or nothing. But that's how it all started. If I go back to university and failing my degree, which is what I did, I had to sit on the left with Haley's dad and Haley's sister. It was wonderful seeing them graduating, but I was devastated. There are better ways of turning left now. That's not one of them. It was my own fault. I should have stuck in more at university. I messed about with economics, but it's never going to stick. Sometimes it's never going to stick. But I did the extra 6 months. I graduated. Right, now, let's go. Career, now let's go. To work at the enterprise agency, I learned so much. Wonderful. I loved every single minute of that job. Helping small business, helping startup businesses. Loved it. Working in the motor industry, I was there for literally a year. Loved it. We did some amazing things. But that redundancy hit and hit hard. Like I say, Haley took a second job on. It was horrible. But we finally, we just managed to get it going, get a bit of traction, get a bit of momentum, make things happen. Opportunities will happen. Pick up the phone or don't. We have options.
And I get, there's loads of questions I want to ask.
Go for it.
I've got your precious time. But I think one of the things that kind of came through there, and I think this is relevant, it's been relevant on my journey, just as a bit of context, you were very instrumental in my own speaking journey. Get me into the PSA. I remember having a chat with you about that. You said, let's get into the PSA. I do recommend it. And that was a big step for me. Meeting Nigel Risner, getting some insights from Nigel as well. Yeah. All that kind of thing. Brilliant. It feels like you had that significant thing about the redundancy that shaped you.
Yeah.
Then you set up the business and the consultancy. but you wanted to focus on the speaking side. Did you always, did that kind of take shape, or did you always know I want to do something like that? Because one of the reason I'm asking is one of the things that I always think, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up. I still struggle, and I envy people who seem to have known right from the start.
Really interesting. Possibly the reason why I didn't graduate first time. I remember me and Martin and guy called Chris, we were three best mates at university. We got kicked out of the lecture theatre at Sunderland Business School for messing on. Right? We had to do literally 4 to 5 minutes speech each about this business plan that we did at university. Mm. And we, no prep. I mean, if somebody said back then, oh, by the way, he'll be a professional speaker one day, it was the most ridiculous thing ever. We got booted out. So speaking was never there. However, and this is again, your questions just brought this back. I would love to have been a footballer, but actually not. I was never any good. You know, what would you want to be when you're young? What would you want to be when you're older? A footballer, a movie star. I loved, still do to this day, comedians. So even the old school stuff, the Mike Reeds of this world, Dave Allen, you know, great, you know, Dave Allen was a storyteller, right? Just wonderful, right? Where Mike Reed was, you know, he's in your face, but Dave Allen was very, very sort of, but always loved comedians. Billy Connolly, the king of, absolutely incredible. Seen him 3 times live, which was stunning. And I would, If anything from being a kid, I was like, I would love to do that. Problem is, I can't tell a joke, right? I might know a joke, but I know about two. And I can't even tell you what those are. I can't remember any jokes. Mm. I couldn't stand in a pub and say, here's a joke. Some people are natural joke tellers. But I tell stories that are funny, which is interesting. So this is what I do as a career. I'm actually as close, and I've had this quite a few times, in the world of speaking, we didn't know, and I've had this, there was a lovely one once, we didn't know if we were watching a stand-up comic or a business presentation. And I took offense in my head to that at first, until on the way back I went, that's bloody brilliant. Because I deliver with energy, with passion, all original stories, but the stories, I make them fun. I find the fun in everything. Life is too short, so I'm gonna have fun. And to see the audience, I know, and I've always said this from day one, if an audience can come away with a smile on their face and ideas in their pockets, job done. Mm-hmm. That's my key aim. Okay, enjoy it, because there's plenty of speakers. So it was very much, I suppose, if you were to link it back, I would love to have been a comedian watching all these comedians from early days. I was never going to do that because telling jokes was never my thing. But actually, I'm as close to that as ever, I suppose, from what I do now, which is really interesting.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's the, for me, yeah, I've already answered it. I'm just going to go back on myself.
I think that's it's really insightful, because I think one of the challenges, I'm speaking as my coaching head working with midlifers, is sometimes we turn around in life and think, is this it? Is this what I wanted to do? And often it's about discovering, well, what is it I really want to do? I've built this career, this profession, whatever it is, and it's not me, or it's not me anymore. And I sometimes think back, and I know I think back too, well, what were the things that I loved as a kid, or that I watched on the telly, or loved, or got lost in Star Wars for me, you know, that kind of thing. And this is the reason I asked the question, is because I remember seeing you speak once, and you were talking about how as a kid or a teenager, you recorded the adverts off the radio, you know, and I did that for different reasons, because I love the creativity, well, probably creativity side, but, you know, I don't have the marketing head on. But that struck me. Is that something? Was that a seed of it for you?
The creativity side has always been a big thing for me. So creating a brand, creating sub-brands within my business, creating the book, writing the books, my stories. So it's all creative. You know, back in the day of Mercury Marketing, it was creating logos for clients. It was designing questionnaires. It was always on that most creative side to get what can we do with limited funds, limited budget to create something, you know, that, that will be a success? So that's, the creativity is huge. I mean, I remember the Milk Tray Man advert. I talk about that. I used to talk about that quite a lot in my previous talks. You know, for Mash Get Smash. I mean, God, I could reel off far too many ads. But these are things I would remember as a kid. Now, did I watch too much television? Possibly. But these things always used to stick. And if I think back to, people say, what were your favorite subjects at school? Mine was business studies. Mm. Now, again, this is interesting because if you delve at why business studies, because let's be honest, economics ain't my thing. Mm. And finance ain't my thing. Actually, a lot of things aren't my thing, but the marketing side and the creativity side was. But if you look back to business studies at Whitburn School, we got a teacher in. We got a, you know, the sub teachers, you know, somebody's off ill. So we've got this, somebody coming in, oh, here we go. A guy called Malcolm Stevenson. I'm guessing he's possibly retired now, potentially. So Malcolm Stevenson came in and he made it fun. Mm. He made it different. So he would talk about stories or ideas about business. And I just used to gel. I used to connect. I went, oh, this is good. I used to enjoy it. And I used to enjoy business studies. The creativity side, brilliant. So we got him for about 6 months. And after school, I went to college, South Tyneside College. Guess who was my business studies lecturer? It's Malcolm Stevenson. So he inspired me back in the day. I think, you know, he's having fun with this. Mm. And he'll say something off the cuff, quite derogatory or a little bit sort of sarcasm. I love a bit of sarcasm. Apparently it's the lowest form of wit. It's not, it's beautiful. Mm. And he would say stuff and I would burst out laughing going, oh my God, did he just say that? And nobody else would get it. And I'm like, oh, that's just... So you can be inspired by teachers or the people around you. That inspired me into business studies, but, you know, then the Solid University. And it's just you... It's really interesting. You come with nothing in this life. You're just bare bones and you're this... I suppose you're this little magnet and things will stick. Not everything will stick, but things will stick. Oh, I like that. I like that. And people will shape you. You know, Malcolm Stevenson shaped me in the very early stages of where I could go in terms of a subject. Before that, maybe his comedians shaped me in thinking, God, wouldn't it be great to be on a stage one day and tell something and people enjoy it? Not as a joke, but I suppose if I was, and I've never thought about this, I've never stripped it back like this. You're good at this. But if I go back further, those comedians, I'm thinking, maybe there was something there that helped to shape. Mm. Interestingly enough, would I be here doing what I'm doing and done what I've done had me and Haley not met? Because I don't think so.
Yeah.
I could have met somebody else, but here's the sliding doors thing.
Mm.
Both Haley and I were in a relationship at universities. We were both dumped.
Right.
Like within the same week. That's a sliding doors moment. We got together on Martin's birthday. I mentioned him a few times. On his birthday night in Roxanne's, South Shields. Oh, but we got together for the very first time. Really interesting. But would I be the person in business without her? No. Because she would, you know, if I'm getting above myself or a bit too cocky, say, whoa, just settle down, pipe down. She's from Yorkshire, so she's going to just pipe down. And if I'm feeling low, things aren't going, it's like, okay. And, you know, so you need those supporters all of the time. And it's not just taking on a second job. It's the little things that can be said or done. It's the cards at the early day wishing you good luck, or it's, you know, every year So every year she gives us a birthday card on the 1st of March.
There you go.
Instrumental, vital.
Just stuff in it, just stuff in life. So I wouldn't be here without her. I wouldn't have gone into business if it hadn't been for Malcolm. Would I have got onto stage if it hadn't been for Billy Connolly and I say Mike Reed. I used to love Mike Reed. But Dave Allen. Dave Allen was my granddad's favourite. So it's interesting. So you start watching Dave Allen at a very early age, being that high, because your granddad watched it. Yeah. So then you're flipping heck. I mean, I'm going to go back to the dinosaurs here to where we are now. But it's really interesting. And I don't even remember what your question was.
I think that's... Well, whatever you gave there as an answer was just magic, because I think for... This is when... And I'm going to ask you about has it all been glamour and success since Iran and Iran very shortly. But I think we all have ups and downs and question ourselves. And sometimes the questions, it isn't just doubt. It's actually necessary to go there and just say, am I on the right path or am I doing the right thing? Is this where I want to be? And as you've kind of beautifully just illustrated and explained there, sometimes just going back to those past experiences can give you clues that either I am or...
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe it's that. I don't know.
Possibly. But there's decisions we make along the way, picking up the phone to Seppa.
Yeah.
There's saying to Martin, when Martin said, why don't you come out? It's my birthday. And I'm like, seriously, you're all in couples. I'm not going out. Because I'm like feeling crap. No, Haley's single. You didn't chat to her. Wasn't the exact words he used, but I'll... He said, you know, Haley's out. I was like, I wasn't going to go. But I just went and we celebrate 25 years marriage in June of this year, two amazing kids. And you go, if I hadn't have gone, but these are just life choices. Everything you have said, I have done, you have done, has brought us in this room at Master Debonair where Simon couldn't be bothered to be with us.
We'll miss him. We'll do part two one day. We will. I'm going to cover myself full of cushions. I like the...
So, on this journey, I mean, I can't imagine. Put myself in my speaker head. I can't imagine just how that would have felt and the fear, etc. Your speaking opportunities changed and opened up. Has it all been like that? I mean, were there some real challenges and ups, downs, you know?
Look, I think when it comes to, again, the social media is the great non-barometer of life, isn't it? It's what you see is me, and I'm really, you've got to be really careful what you put out. And I always try and put out promotional stuff for others, not congratulatory stuff for myself. So the stuff I put out is all of the gigs and the experiences that I have effectively received and won and got. You know, medal around your neck. You have no idea how many posts I could post about the gigs that didn't come off. The client that decided to do a 180 at the last minute and decided to, we don't need a customer service speaker, we've just got an Olympian. Well, good luck with that customer service delivery. So you never see the because actually you don't really want to see what I didn't win. So you always see the good stuff. Has it always been? God no. I highs and lows. I'm not famous. I never will be famous. I try and work treble as hard as somebody who would be. You know, you could be on the Dragon's Den, you could be on the Apprentice, and get 5 gigs next week. Oh, we like them. Oh, get them. You charge what you want. You can be a crap speaker. You can be an amazing speaker. But I've got from nothing with my own material, my own stories that I know help, that I know will inspire, and I know now because of experience and feedback and results. For me, where was I going? I've got my train of thought. But in terms of highs and lows, absolutely not. You know, if an inquiry comes in, we'd like you to speak in Melbourne, we'd like you to speak in Los Angeles, we'd like you to speak in wherever. I'm like, wow, and it might come off and it might not. But that initial hit of, oh, somebody wants me, somebody on the other side of the world wants me. Mm-hmm. Such a buzz. Getting on the plane or the train or the car, such a buzz. Putting my suit in my suitcase and staying the night before in somewhere I've never been before is such a buzz. Going to deliver the nerves. It's, you know, it's like, oh my God, that passion through, I can't wait. And I deliver and I do my best. It's an incredible experience. A lot of speakers moan and bemoan about the travel. I love it. Always have. I've had flights that have been cancelled and I haven't been able to get home. I've missed connecting flights. We've all gone through all this stuff. And there's events that don't come off. It's not all plain sailing. But the flip side is, it far outweighs. I am doing something. And I sit on a platform or on a plane or in my car going to an event. I'm going, somebody wants my stuff. That's real. So, you know, they've heard about me. They've been recommended. They saw a video on YouTube. They've went, we'll book him. And that is such, and it always will be, I still pinch myself. At those moments, I'm going, oh my God. I spoke last year in Nashville for a wonderful client, MDRT. There was 10,000 in the audience, and I spoke for 20 minutes. Well, as you can tell on this podcast, you know, half a story is an hour. 20 minutes. I did the same for the same client in Singapore. A month later, I was speaking on the Gold Coast in Australia. Pinch myself. But I also spoke in Workington last year. I think you saw the post for the Cumbria Chamber of Commerce, which is kind of where it all started 20 plus years ago. And it doesn't matter where I am. It's just, I love it. It's not a job. Never has been. I give it my all and I'm knackered when I come off stage. Too much graphic information for the podcast, but I come off dripping. But I give everything I can to in that hour or that half a day session that I'm doing. But it's certainly not all glamorous. It's certainly not all. Oh, look at him turning left. Look at him, photographs. That's just the stuff you see. You don't see the stuff that doesn't come off. Don't see it. Yeah. You don't see the travel. If you would ask Haley, you know. Because when I land somewhere, when I go somewhere, I go, touchdown, Heathrow, touchdown, wherever. I always, because I'm an American football fan, so I always put touchdown. Half of those messages over the last 2 decades, delayed. I'm delayed. I don't think I can make it. I've missed the such and such. People don't see that. But also people don't need to see that. I can rant and rave like anybody, but it doesn't help anybody. Too much negativity. So it hasn't been all highs and lows. The business, like I say, I do 50, 60 conferences a year. I love it. I don't want to do any more because work-life balance at home, kids, you know, college, school. I've seen the kids more than any other dad that I know. I've been around, which is wonderful. But when I'm away, I can be away for a chunk of time. But it's not all highs and lows. We talk about confidence, and your confidence in your business, things are going well, I know what to do. I'm always adding to my stories and new clients are coming on, recommendations, all of that's good. And I'm thinking, I hope I can do this for the next 10, 15 years. I hope I'm still relevant in a decade. I hope I'm still relevant in a bloody week. You know, I really do, because I love it so much. And even though you have that business knowledge, experience of what you do and what you love, there's still these external factors that can just mess about with you. You know, you've got perfect reception on your TV, but something will happen weather-wise and it buggers it up. You lose Wi-Fi connection. Well, that was perfect 2 minutes ago and you can't get it back and you try and get it back. 2019, brilliant business year, but the worst personally, Haley got breast cancer. She found it, NHS. She had a mastectomy. She had the operation. But from the minute one of, I think there's something here, to coming back home and to after the operation and getting everything, it's complete helplessness. And you, the only time I ever had any respite from my thoughts was when I was on stage. It was the only time. So if I've got 42 minutes on stage, I've got to do this story, got to do that story, got to do, half the stories are family related, so that was a bit of a killer. It was the only time I had respite. So as soon as I come off, your mind goes straight back to home, straight back to, and it was a horrific time. I mean, don't get me wrong. I didn't physically go through it, but as a family, it was yeah. But she's fine. She's clear. She's good. She's amazing. A fighter to the core. But 2019, nothing changes in your business, but everything changes in your mind. And I'm on a train for 3 hours coming from London. I've had 42 minutes respite on stage, and as soon as you get a 3-4 hour journey, your mind, you start going to places that you don't want to go to, but it's too late. And you start questioning and coming up with scenarios that you don't want to go down there. So anyhow, 2019 was a horrific year personally, but we're good. Good. I don't know how much wood there is, but we're good. Mm. And we toasted. There's a place called Readwater. It's in Hexham. Must go. A place called Readwater. They've got lodges. And we got a lodge, got a hot tub. And we've been there a few times. It's our little escape here, you know, but we took the kids. And it was over New Year's. And we sat in the hot tub as the countdown was going on, 2019. And we were toasting to get rid of the worst year of our family's life. And we said 2020 would be our year. Of course it was, because that lasted flipping 7 weeks. And you go, okay. Now, from your mind and your everything, your focus is completely on, how do we get rid of this cancer? What do we say to the kids when you go through that for what seemed like an eternity in 1 year, to almost, okay, business is dead now. Died overnight. Mm. Every booking died. Clients, it's just gone. That was it. Which it was for everybody. Master Debonair can't open. You know, somebody, everybody was affected. But as a speaker, there is no gatherings. Hotels aren't open. And all of a sudden, after about 3 months, Jeff, and I start getting these inquiries, do you do virtual? It's like non-alcoholic wine. It's absolutely no point. And now I could do it. Deep down, hated every minute. I could do it, and I did it my best. I did give it my best shot, but horrible. Because where I come alive is on stage, and you're on a screen, and you've got nobody, no interaction. But you do what you do, and it was Haley and I. It was a case of right, batting down the hatches, going back to when I was made redundant. What do we need to do to keep the roof over our head? What do we do to get the Asda shopping in? And you go back to basics. And that's what we did. And, that lasted, what, argument's sake, 18 months, 2 years. 2023, back on track. 2024, it looks fabulous. And big international events like Nashville, Singapore, I was telling you about, they've all come back last year. And we've come back. Mm-hmm. And it's come back stronger, mm-hmm. I actually think. So that takes a hit. Bloody hell, that is. Your confidence in your mind gets shook with personal stuff, and you try and do your best for family. You're trying to do your best for business, and because you're the business. This is it. It's not a case of I'll take a couple of months off. Can you just take over for a bit? Can you go? It's like it's only you. So there's pressure there. Pressure if my back goes, it's pressure if I break my leg. Gee, how do I get on that stage? How do I, you know, there's all sorts of stuff, but that's life.
But then that mindset of what happens if we don't come back in 2020, 2021? What is this it? And that spiral of negativity and, you know, just putting on the bloody news. But we had to put the news on to find out if we can walk, which is interesting because that if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have walked as much. I now do sort of 2 or 3 walks a week. Seaburn, Clayton, Whitburn, Roker, back home. It's just a few miles, but clears my head. Yeah. So yeah, it's highs and lows. You absolutely, but that's for everybody, whatever business you're in. But yeah, I could do without 2020 and 2019 again.
Yeah,
but it's like you just got to keep going. Mm. But if you've got each other, you've got that support, and you can bounce stuff off each other, support one another. That you know, that's it's worth quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's come through loud and clear on every podcast we've done, and in what you've recounted through the people in your life, particularly Hayley, and that support. I think this is the thing about not going it alone. You know, we're talking confidence, but we're also talking about just getting on and enjoying life and getting through life at times. And it's the people around you, isn't it? The support they get.
I think with if you're going to change career, start your own business, relationships, whatever it may be. You might think, oh, you know, I'm at a certain age now, I've got experience, got knowledge, I can go. I think we've always got to have stabilizers on. Mm. Mm. I can cycle and get from A to B, but you know what? There's going to be wobbles on the way to the shops. If I've got these stabilizers on, I don't have to use them, but if I do, I think just having that just to keep you as straight down the middle as possible without going one way. You know, you can be uber confident and be cocky. You can go the other way and just really cloud your life. But if we've got those stabilizers,
yeah.
I just made that up, by the way.
I love it. I love it as a visual.
But, there we go.
Yeah, I love it.
Stabilizers.com. I've just bought the domain name.
SOZ.
Well,
I'll get into that.
Yeah.
Jeff, man, this has been fantastic. It's been great. I've loved the conversation. I've loved the stories. And as always, just brilliant. Taking loads from it. As we always do, just want to sort of close off with the question that we ask.
Close off? Is that what we're doing?
No, close.
Oh, right. Okay, close. Sorry.
We close with the same question.
Uh-huh.
Is there an object or a piece of clothing or an item from your past that if and when you think about it, it kind of brings a smile or has some meaning to for you? You know, it has something for you. It's stuck with you through. You may not have the object now, but it means something.
Is it just one?
Objects. Go on, you can have a few.
I'll give you 3.
Go on then.
Right. Okay. First one I've got on is this tie. So in terms of a business thing, so this tie is a Moschino tie, or Moschino. It's Moschino, but call it what you will. Got this, it's years old, on holiday. So I always wear a 3-piece suit on stage, always have, always will, keeps me in. But I just think it looks, I always go either crazy pair of shoes or a bit, you know, ooh, they're different. Tie, ooh, that's, or the shirt, ooh, that's a bit different. There's always going to be one thing. Black is mainly, but I'll go different colours. So this tie, and it's got loads of little, do you want to, hang on. I don't know if you can get this, but there's loads of little smiley faces and laughing.
Yes.
Have you got that? Go on. These are all little smiley faces.
Still
out of focus. Right, you got it?
Yeah.
Right, there you go. So, and it's, Hayley and I saw this, and it was like a mini Master Debonair in Mahon in Menorca. So years ago, before kids, I saw this tie in this little shop, and I love Moschino, always have done. And I went, oh, so there's smiley faces stuff, and I love the colour. Mm. So I've seen nothing like it. So
to this day, and I'd had a conference this morning, this is the tie I wore. And it just always brings a smile because it's a smiley face thing. Mm. That's what I want. I want to have fun. Mm. I want the audiences to enjoy. So I love the brand. Oh, because you see the brand on there. So that's number one. The second object that puts a smile on my face. It's a little bit business related, but it's, I suppose, family related. Still got one of my granddad's old chalks. He took me to play snooker back in the Newcastle snooker halls. And I was so small. I used to love snooker as a kid back in the 80s, but I was so small I couldn't get up to the table. So he used to put these little sort of, sort of crates, you know, full of Vimto. He used to stand and used to play snooker with the uncles. I always remember it. We only did it a few times. And, the smoke, you know, the smoke, smoky bays, green bays. It was like, it was fabulous atmosphere. And I must have only been 7 or 8. And the uncle said, oh, you're going to be a snooker player when you're old? I would love to be. But like a comedian, that wasn't going to work out. Oh, yeah. And one day you'll be at the Crucible. And a number of years ago, Business Link, and now UMI, based in the Northeast, they booked me to speak at the MADE Festival. I did 3 of the 4 festivals in Sheffield. 2 were at the City Hall, and 1 of them was at the Crucible. I walked out into the Crucible, and I wore full tux. I wore the thing.
Right.
Not just this tie. I went as if I was a snooker player, and I walked out with my cue. And it was an entrepreneurs festival, so it was, you know, we talk about aspirations and having thought dreams and goals and all that type of stuff. And I told the story about playing with my granddad and the uncle saying, one day you'll be at the Crucible. Here I am playing at the Crucible. There was no table there, but it was like that. Moment there in business, I was like, wow. So this was me and Haley on holiday.
Yeah.
So family related. And I think this hopefully epitomizes me in business. And what I would like to try and achieve. Fun. The piece of chalk. And I've got the last one. Kieran Brady yesterday.
Yep.
I bet he was good. Right. On the back of Kieran Brady's stint. Here we go. Third object. I appreciate you'll have a few people going, yay! But some people on this go, get that off there now. This is a Sunland Strip. It's a few years old now. Adidas, still better than Nike. Unless Nike asked me to speak, and then Nike's lovely. but this is the top that I wore when we won at Wembley against Wickham in the playoffs a couple of years ago. As a kid, I would play Football Manager on the Commodore 64, and you'd win everything. You know, after a few years, you won everything, the FA Cup and the Rumbelows Cup, remember back in the day. And you play FIFA on, you play the Mega Drive stuff and PlayStation, and I win with Sunderland, and they win, and they never won at Wembley. I'm 49, never seen them win at Wembley. Went down with the kids and with Haley. The 4 of us got tickets. Grace was doing exams. So we didn't stay over. Drove down in the morning, left at 5 in the morning. Got down there, got to Wembley. Bright sunshine day. It's your wedding day, birth of the children, Sunderland at Wembley. And people say, well, you know, it's the playoff final against Wickham. No. Saw us win at Wembley. So that... is the strip that I still wear to this day. And the memories, it's just one of those things as a fan from being gone since I was, 6 or 7. I just want to see us win at Wembley. Just once. I don't care what trophy it is. Mm. I don't care. Just, I want to see it. I want to see it live. I want to be there. I want to witness it. And so there you go. Piece of chalk, football strip, and a tie. Weren't expecting that, were you? No.
Love it, though. Love it.
But yeah, those are my objects, and it's, pretty cool.
Jeff, it's been a pleasure. It's been great. Thank you for your time, and the stories, just brilliant. Fantastic. And I'm sure the listeners will get so much out of that. So thank you. Thanks again. And on Pleasure. Simon's behalf, because he couldn't be bothered to hear, be here. No, bless him. Bless him. No, he'd be gutted if he missed the conversation. But thank you.
Pleasure. It's
been great.
All the best. I hope that you enjoyed the episodes and got something from that. If you did, we would love you to share our podcast.
And if you're not already subscribed to the show, and leave us a rating or a review, that really helps spread the word.
I'd also like to thank our podcast producer, Bernardo, for doing a sensational job.
And thanks to the awesome Logan Nicholson of musicthemakers.com for the music for the podcast.
Catch you in the next episode. Thanks, guys.